Let me give you a little background to this text, and it fits for Veterans Day. David, who is a true warrior of the Old Testament, in fact, he was prohibited from building the temple because he had been such a warrior and had shed so much blood. And so that was deferred down to his son Solomon. And he was able to prepare for Solomon to build, but David was not allowed to build the temple because of his years as a very active and successful soldier. Now, this chapter happens. What we understand is about the time of his son's insurrection and rebellion and about to take over the throne. And David has to run and flee from Jerusalem because what his son was doing. And at this point, David definitely was up in years. And at the time we have Psalm 55 recorded, we would understand it would parallel with 2 Samuel 15, verse 30 and following, whereas he was leaving Jerusalem, he was climbing up Mount Olives. And you remember that place was very significant, the Olivet Discourse, the Sermon on the Mount of Olives at Jesus Christ. It was in this same area. But here we find that David learns of who all's involved in this rebellion, and then he turns to God in prayer. And this passage records some things that lead up to it, his feelings, and how he turned to God for answers. So with that understanding, if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, let's stand together. I'll begin with verse 1 and read Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, mine guide, and mine acquaintance. He took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, that he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes. Therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Father, we come to you as we consider this tremendous psalm and lesson that you have for us in this record. Now, Father, I pray that you could use this message to help veterans. Today is Veterans Day, and our focus is veterans. but also first responders. And any other person that is suffering from a moral injury that they have encountered. God, I pray that their eyes would be open to this great truth of how God can deliver and give real peace. Use it today, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we said, today is Veterans Day. It is a time when we as a nation honor and recognize those that have served with their life in our military services. And it is we as individuals likewise that want to recognize and honor them many a times. Now understand, I did not serve in the military. When I was in high school and about ready to graduate, I signed up for the draft. My draft number was 13. The Vietnam War was coming to an end. And by the time I graduated from high school, the government terminated the draft, so I did not have to go. And so, but for me, when I find veterans, I am very quick to acknowledge them as a veteran and thank them for their service for defending and protecting the freedoms that I personally can experience in my life. Now, Memorial Day in May is a different and a separate time. That's a time when we honor those that gave the ultimate, their life, for our freedom and for our nation. And we can thank God for them. But today it is for those who survived their time of service. They live and dwell among us. Many of these veterans that survived the bullets and the bombs came home with physical injuries that literally changed their life and changed their careers. They're visible wounds. We know about them, and we have a greater understanding about them. But there were many more who came home with wounds that are not visible to the eye and cannot be seen through an X-ray, an MRI, or any type of a laboratory test. Yet the symptoms are very real and noticeable by those around them. The wound of which I speak is called moral injury. It is a wounding of the soul. And when I speak of the soul, I speak of our conscience, our mind, which deals with our thought life, our emotions, and our will, which deals with the choices that we make. This wound is so egregious that 22 veterans die a day by a self-inflicted death. That's how serious this injury is. While it may be possible to temporarily escape the symptoms of moral injury through the use of drugs, whether they be prescribed or illegal, alcoholism, through pet therapy or any other type of therapy, through dangerous self-destructive living, they may find temporary escape from some of this. But none of these can ever bring healing or sustainable peace. Here is a truth alert. You watch the news very much. They have news alert, whatever. Here is a truth alert. Only God can deliver peace. And I'm talking about a peace that is a sustaining, lasting peace. So let me ask you this question. If you were to learn that there is truly a way to be delivered from the symptoms and the agony of moral injury, experience real healing and lasting peace, what would you do with that information? How would you respond, and how will you respond to that truth that can really help and change your life? Here is what retired Major General Bob Deese of the U.S. Army says. Jesus is the avenue to experience true recovery from the ravages of combat trauma. Here are God's answers, the truth, to real healing, forgiveness, and and peace from moral injury. Now, in our text, David was a seasoned veteran of war. And we're talking about the up-close and hand-to-hand battle, not the lobbing of bombs and bullets from afar. And that produces moral injury as well. But you could magnify and amplify this issue, understanding that if the battle is right there in front of your face, the enemy is right in front of you, and it is hand to hand, and you feel his blood upon your hand, and maybe he injures you, and your blood is mingled with his blood, and death and dismemberment, and all of this happens right in front of you. He has some of the goriest and ugliest graphic pictures in his mind of what war has done, and the ability to injure a person morally. David experienced that very thing on the battlefields of his life. And we're talking about real warfare battlefields. That was David. He did not go home to a life of self-destruction, but was anointed by God to rule over the nation, which meant he had to find a way to get over it, to find healing, to find peace, and be able to lead with equity and integrity. Here is a psalm that opens up a bit of a window into the heart of David, revealing that he too experienced the symptoms of moral injury that people speak of today. But it goes on to reveal how God gave him deliverance and, yes, even peace. Now, before I examine God's word with these answers, let me interject again about moral injury. It is not only our veterans that encounter moral injury, but also the first responders. That's law enforcement, our EMTs, our fire department. This is a widespread epidemic amongst them. But you don't have to be a first responder or a veteran. There is multitudes beyond that have encountered an event in their life that has traumatized them, whether it be a natural disaster, whether it be a divorce by the parents or between adults or whatever it is that has caused a moral injury within their heart, or whether it be some type of criminal act that has been inflicted upon your body. Moral injury is no respecter of persons. Now, this morning, our focus is upon the veterans, and we want to reach out and help the veterans. But at the same time, we want to reach out to all people that have encountered a moral injury, and God's answers are the same for every individual. So now let us look at Psalm 55 and learn what David learned from God's answers to moral injury. First off, he learned that the pathway to healing begins by turning to God for help. Notice in verses 1 through 3, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication." He realized here is a sense of desperateness that there is no other help, no other hope apart from God, and he cries unto God, "Give me ear, hear me, O God, and hide thyself not from me. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise." Because of the voice of the enemy, people talk about the peril of hearing voices. David complained because of the voice of his enemy. This was a moral injury. Because of the oppression of the wicked. When we encounter moral injury, yes, it does become oppressive. For they have cast iniquity. And there is a great sense of guiltiness of sin that has been experienced. And in wrath, they hate me. So we see that David recognized and admitted that he had a problem and he couldn't fix it himself. And all of the physicians and all of the wise counselors that he had around him as a king, the best of the best within the nation, they could not solve this problem. And the fact of the matter is, you can go to the greatest of the medical facilities in America and you can have the best counselors and the best help that this world can give, and you will discover, and you've probably already discovered, that it doesn't fix the problem. It may put a Band-Aid over it. It may silence it temporarily, but it doesn't bring forgiveness. It doesn't bring healing, and it does not bring peace, sustaining, lasting, unrobbable peace. And he realized that, and he cried out to God. There are too many who are unwilling to admit that they have a problem, or they're going to ignore it or deny it when it really exists, and then they think they can hide it and handle it themselves. And you know what the fact is? It's not working. Look at the homes that are ravaged by it. Look at the cemeteries that are filled from it. It's not working that way. David cried out unto God with true brokenness. He uses the word mourn. That is a spirit of true brokenness over his condition. And David admitted that the problem was truly both oppressive to his life and destructive. Does this not sound familiar to the symptoms of moral injury that veterans, first responders, and others are experiencing? David now confesses his condition to God. He has cried out to God. Now he confesses his condition. In verses 4 through 8, he realized that this was a heart or a soul issue, and that physical remedies could not touch it and could not remedy it. He starts out by saying, "My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me." The heart deals with the soul. And again, that is our conscience, that is our mind or our thought life. When I talk about the mind, I'm not talking about the gray matter that is within our skull that you can see with a CAT scan or whatever. But I'm talking about the thought life, that there is nothing available to really examine that with a X-ray or MRI or nuclear or whatever it is. That is our thought life that is still yet private to ourselves. We can only try to tell it to somebody else. That's the mind. Our emotions. And we are full of emotions from anger. And we try to laugh. And sadness and bitterness. The emotions that are there. And the will, which determines the choices that we make in life. And too many times they become bad choices. He says, "My heart is sore pain." That is the agony and the agonizing feel that he has within his heart, his emotions and his mind. They are absolutely, literally agonizing over this. And then he talks about, he said, "My heart is sore pained. Terrors of death are fallen upon me." And then there are people. When he talks about the terrors of death, there's such a mixed multitude of emotions and thinking that they go through. From fearing they're going to die, to wishing they could die, to trying to die by self-infliction. And they suffer the cycle of all three of these, and the greatest dangers when they get successful with the third and there's no further opportunity to help. And so the terrors of death reverberate within the halls of their thought life. And then look at verse 5. It produces fearfulness and trembling. and a whore hath overwhelmed me. As they think upon this, and they struggle with life and death, and they struggle with the vanity of man's ways and philosophies and methods that have never worked, and they struggle with a spirit of hopelessness that there is no hope that they can ever really have healing from it, some of them manage to discipline it to move on in life and be successful in life, and quite successful. But it's as though they have a beast that has changed within their soul, that they are having to constantly feed somehow and quiet somehow to continue in their life and even in their success. And so we see that in verse 5. Now look at verse 6, 7, and 8. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. Isolation. I can't handle it around people. But somehow I think if I go into isolation and avoid all people and not be around people, at least nobody else might hear the screams that I hear within. Do not these symptoms sound vividly familiar to the symptoms of moral injury in our veterans and every individual that is suffering from moral injury? Folks, there may be people here this morning that either have or are dealing with some levels of this in their life. And they're real. And the cry from within, and many times the despair of hopelessness, becomes overwhelming. These symptoms of soul, of injury, moral injury of the soul, not the body. Even though it can affect your body and make you physically ill, there are people that become so emotionally distraught that they will become ill and start vomiting and other conditions because the soul doth affect the body. But it can also affect the body by the bad choices that they make, by turning to drugs, whether prescription or illicit, and with all of the side effects that brings destruction and problems to the body, alcohol, dangerous self-destructive behavior, all of those affect the body. And it brings self-destruction as well as destruction to the others and especially to those that they love. And David was crying out in these five verses the symptoms that he was experiencing in the heart, in the soul of David, and it is the same that anyone and everyone that is suffering from moral injury on one level or another is suffering. Then in verses 9 through 15, we see some of the resulting responses that come from this. We saw in these first five, verses 4 through 8, what was taking place in his soul. And now here is the flesh that is responding. David reveals that his response that he wanted bad things to happen to those that inflicted his moral injury. These verses, let me read verse 9 through 15. And think of this whole passage here, what is there, seven verses, are filled with anger, bitterness, and revenge. And you see, when you don't deal with moral injury biblically, then you'll want to deal with it out of the flesh. And here's what you get. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about, and upon the walls thereof mischief and also sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy. Well, let me stop with there. And as you go on down, it just has the sense of bitterness and anger. And the revenge, God destroy them. God destroy them. I don't want you to give them an opportunity to repent of their sin and be right with God. I just want you to destroy them. That's what happens when we do not respond to moral injury in a biblical way. We want the destruction of others. And then in verses 12 and 13 and 14, for it was not an enemy. In this case, it was not the enemies per se. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company. This was Ahithophel, who he's talking about, one of his trusted counselors that betrayed him and joined his son in the coup. You see, he speaks of a great sense of betrayal. A great sense of betrayal. Most people, if not all, but at least most people who experience moral injury feel a great sense of betrayal by someone they trusted. For veterans, they trusted their government to put them into the battle for the right reason and with the right philosophy. And as you and I know, so many of our wars, now I'm not going to talk about whether any war, every war, each war is good and right, just or unjust. But there is a fact that is without dispute. Wars become very politicized. And the decisions within war are not always good and honorable decisions. And so soldiers feel betrayed by their government, and not government in general, but presidents, senators, congressmen, etc. You will discover that in most cases, and you take cases where a crime has been inflicted upon the body of somebody and now they experience moral injury, many times that crime was committed by somebody they trusted. And so you will frequently find an overwhelming sense of betrayal with moral injury. This is how David felt. And in this, there was no healing for David, and there's no healing for you either, by this world, by the doctors, but by God is the only one. So at this point, beginning with verse 16, David is at a turning point for his life. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. After confessing to God the hurt and failings of his heart, and he did so by his mouth, that's confessing, he now turns to God in faith. He is realizing there is no other real, lasting remedy for man, for the healing and the forgiveness of moral injury. You see, 1 Peter 5:7 tells us about our God, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. One of the songwriters put it this way, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love, but I'll never know just why he came to save till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And so here we see that he discovered there was true care in the Lord his God. Jeremiah 17:14 says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." Luke 4, and Jesus said this about his ministry, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to," now get this, "heal the brokenhearted." Moral injury, an injury to the soul, is a broken heart. "And preach deliverance to the captives." Those who have encountered moral injury feel like they're in prison and enslaved, and there's no way to open the prison door to freedom. And then he goes on to say, "to set at liberty them that are bruised." That is our God, and that's the God that David turned to. That's the God that you can turn to as well. As David turned to God in faith, here's some things that resulted in verse 17. "Evening and morning at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." This speaks that David had a real, intimate, personal relationship with God. Just believing God and leaving it at that and moving forward will not do the job. You've got to continue. Now, this isn't how you keep salvation, but this is how you keep the peace that God has provided, and that is by a daily, living, intimate, personal relationship with God. You take His Word, the Bible, and you read it, and that is God speaking to you, to me. And then you pray, and that is you talking to God. God has poured out and revealed His will through the Word and His answers to all of our problems, and we pour out our heart and speak to God. David had a personal relationship with his God. And then verses 19, 20, 21, and 23, David chose. Now see, this is a part of the soul, and that is the will, and there's choices that you have to make. David chose to trust God to deal with the enemies, those other than himself, responsible for his moral injury. You see, before he wanted God to destroy them, he wanted revenge, he wanted to vindicate himself. Now he's willing to let them go and turn them over to God and let God deal with them. In 19. "God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God." Verse 20, "He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter." He's talking about the betrayer. "But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords." Verse 23, "But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their lives, but I will trust in thee." If you're the cause for your own moral injury, then you need to confess to God and He will forgive you. But in many cases, the moral injury is inflicted by someone else as well. Now, if they come in and apologize to you, your duty is to forgive them. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 6 and down through verse 12. To forgive as Christ forgave us. But if they never come to apologize, then it is your job to trust God to deal with them and take it off your plate. David chose to do exactly that. Once David confessed his heart to God, turned to him in faith, and had a real personal, intimate relationship with God, I want you to notice what he then experienced in his life. In verse 18, it says, "And he hath delivered my soul in peace." Two things in this verse he experienced. First, he felt safe. To be delivered means to be brought out of the place of danger. Can you imagine to be in water, turbulent water, drowning, taking in water into the lungs and about to die, and somebody pulls you out of there and takes you to a solid rock and they get the water out of your lungs and you're starting to breathe and you can just relax because now you feel safe. Because David was now in the arms of God, he felt safe. Fanny Crosby has these words, "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of angels, borne in a song to me, o'er the fields of glory, o'er the jasper sea. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershadowed, sweet my soul shall rest. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe from corroding care, safe from the world's temptations, sin cannot harm me there. Free from the blight of sorrow, free from my doubts and fears, only a few more trials, only a few more tears. Jesus, my heart, dear refuge, Jesus has died for me, firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is o'er. Wait till I see the morning break on the golden shore. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest." Many times people will have this sung at a funeral, but my friend, this is a song for the living. It is the song for those that have found safety through Jesus Christ. Not only did he feel safe as in a safe place, but he felt serene. It says, "He hath delivered my soul in peace." In Philippians 4:7, it says that the peace of God passeth all understanding. It is not a temporary peace. Because you will find in verse 22, it says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." It is a sustainable peace. It is a peace that man cannot rob from you, the past cannot rob from you, the moral injury and those who were involved in it cannot rob you of this peace that God has provided to give to each and every individual that will come to God. And it is a permanent, continuing peace that he provides. In Hebrews, he tells us, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." And not only that, but it goes on to say, "He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." He felt secure. It's one thing to feel safe for the moment, but yet it's quite another to add to that the security and to feel secure. No one and nothing could remove him from that safe place in the arms of Jesus. Another place we read in the Bible, it says, I will trust God and not fear what man can do to me, because he is secure in the Lord Jesus' life, Christ. How long has it been, or has it ever existed, that you could say as David that you felt safe, serene, sustained in that peace, and secure? It is only God who can deliver you into this kind of healing, forgiveness, and sustainable peace. Now, as I bring this to a close, I must add there is a great tragedy. And it could be an eternal tragedy. Not everyone will come to God with confession and faith. Many will continue thinking they can handle it themselves and thereby rejecting God. And in time, they will discover failure. If not in this life, but when they stand before God at minimum. But there are also those, and bear with me, because I'm going to be a little bit straightforward, and some may say I'm a little harsh, but I don't think so. Because even this group needs to be challenged with their thinking. There are some that have discovered that their moral injury brings them greater attention by other people and sympathy. The ability to manipulate others, and especially those that are close to them. And it brings benevolent gifts and things into their life that they could not have or may not have given to them otherwise, or they might have to go work to get them. And the thinking that they don't have to be responsible for their behavior, which is wrong thinking. They like their moral injury. And they don't want to change. And somehow they wear it like a badge of distorted honor. It is a pathetic soul that revels in such misery. We pray for you. We pray that your eyes will be open to such a tragedy and realize that there is a far better life to be had through Jesus Christ as your Savior. However, there is you, the one who truly wants to experience God's deliverance, God's healing, and God's sustaining peace. We invite you to our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and experience the healing, the forgiveness, and the peace that only God can deliver, and man or nothing can rob from you. Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, I pray that you will take this message and the Word of God to work into the hearts of each one that hears this message. And God, I pray, especially for those that are suffering with the agony and the hurt and the terror and the oppression and the destruction of moral injury. God, that they will be like David, they will come to the end of themselves and cry out to God. And come to him in faith. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.